Amen. All right. Well, hey, how many guys have ever had the proverbial dream come true? Anybody? Are you still waiting for it? Well, maybe you had a dream come true. Like, remember, I'll give you an example. I'm sure this is universal. Remember, it's like the day you finally made the commitment, I'm going to stop eating chicken like Pastor Billy, right? And then sure enough, dream come true. Your health turned around. Life was great. Remember that day? It was awesome. Yeah, pastors can dream. But let's move on. But believe it or not, I had a dream come true recently. I'm not joking. It's on tape. I actually came across, dream come true, an honest politician. Wow. Yeah. Dream come true, baby. Live from Vegas. It's on tape. Watch this. This is amazing.
Hi, I'm Gil Fulbright. The people who run my campaign, they've made this commercial, and I'm in it. This campaign, it's not about me. It's about crafting a version of me that'll appeal to you. A version that visits random work sites with paid actors pointing at things. A version of me that doesn't find old people loathsome or pointless. Has a conventionally attractive yet curiously still family. Listening to my constituents, legislating, these are things I don't do. What I do is spend about 70% of my time raising funds for re-election. I'd do anything to stay in office. And these are the fine people that finance my campaign. Now, in order to do these things, I have to stay in office. And to stay in office, I have to keep these guys happy. Now, if any of these things make these guys unhappy, well, my hands are tied. So come November, the choice is clear. Do you want another spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists? Or a spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists?
That's exactly what we get every time. I tell you what, okay? Dream come true. That's an honest politician, okay? But believe it or not, as cool as that was, talking about a dream come true, believe it or not, once in a while, in the media even, you will get somebody who is honest enough to admit that the COVID pandemic was a scam. Like this guy. Watch this.
Folks, you know I got the vaccine. Again, I do not ever try to fake the funk with you all. When I make a mistake, it's for the world to see. We all do it. There's no excuse for stupid. But I got to tell you, it was dumb. I should have waited. Because the hard reality is, when the vaccine first came out, we didn't have chronological data because it just came out. There was no time that had passed. I should have waited. It's one of the greatest regrets of my life. I freaked out, man. I had cancer. I thought I was dying. I just wanted to see my youngest daughter's wedding. I don't expect any of you to forgive me for being stupid about it. I don't. Or to forget it. But gosh, it was the biggest mistake of my life. Stupid. Why? I watched this clip from the Tucker Carlson show citing some research coming out. Again, time has now passed and we're starting to see things. It's really most troubling minute 20 seconds I've had to listen to in a long time because I'm scared of what's coming. I had it a little while ago and I'm afraid it's the repercussions of this for a lot of people have not been felt. Here, check this out.
To neurodegenerative disease, myocarditis, Bell's palsy, liver disease, impaired adaptive immunity, impaired DNA damage response, etc. So it's possible, in fact, it's looking likely that the vaccine might suppress the immune system. This fact, the authors concluded, will, quote, have a wide range of consequences, not the least of which include the reactivation of latent viral infections and the reduced ability to effectively combat future infections, end quote. But it's not just the conclusion of one scientific journal. The Lancet, maybe the most famous scientific journal in the world, released similar findings in February. The Lancet's piece was entitled, quote, risk of infection, hospitalization, and death up to 9 months after a second dose of COVID-19 vaccine.
No emergency situation should lead a company or a government to force people to take something, to force them to take something that may in the long run damage their bodies. Greatest regret of my life.
At least he was honest. You wonder why Dan Bongino and Tucker Carlson don't work for Fox anymore? Can't have people being that honest about the COVID pandemic. So what's going on, folks? And this is why the last 10 times we've been taking a look at this guy, Klaus Schwab, because he's the one of the headpins that's behind this dishonest, murderous, sick behaviors coming from him and his group, And it's leading to what the Bible calls the rise of the Antichrist kingdom, warned about 2,000 years ago, whether he admits it or not. This is what they're laying. They're laying the foundation for that. And it's not a big surprise. You're thinking, well, that's crazy. Why would he do that? Because he grew up in Hitler's world. That's his dad, Eugene, on the right, buddies with the Nazis. Hitler wanted to take over the world and do all the kinds of things. Klaus was basically taking what Hitler did, only made it as far as Germany. And now Klaus is bringing it to the world. But you can't call it the rise of the Fourth Reich. That's too obvious. So he just calls it the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. And what did he admit? And he admits all the time, what's the trigger to put all this into place? The COVID pandemic was the opportunity to rethink, reinvent, reimagine, reset our world into this sick, dystopian, Hitlerian vision for the planet. This is really what's going on. Now, that's just a premise, so we've been taking a look at the proof. We need to do our homework. And we already saw proof of that. Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust. We saw Klaus Schwab and the murderous motive. We saw Klaus Schwab and the global food control, and then using the food to murder people. Then we saw the eugenics program never went away with Hitler. And so Klaus Schwab is involved in the genetic food murders, okay, as well as the genetic altering technology. Already here, not coming, already being implemented. It's leading to a genetic altering apocalypse. They even admit it, but they're still doing it. And then it's not just insects, plants, and animals, but now they're genetically modifying people. And then they're genetically mixing people with animals, the chimeric situation. And last time, they're actually copying humans, the cloning movement that's going on. And we saw that in two different ways. The cloning of humans, you go, that's too crazy. Well, we did the research and they've been warming us up to that, starting with animals first. So we'll get used to the idea of actual human cloning. Okay, we saw they got cloned human meat already in the market that they say people are probably eating. They don't even realize it. Clean meat co-op, everybody now. Yeah, not to mention the mRNA. I love that. We should do our own commercial. But anyway, that clone humans, they're doing cloned human or clone animal meat. But not only that, they're cloning pets to the point where it's now a service you can buy. But it's all preparation to get us used to the idea of cloning humans. Okay, and only that, we saw reanimated humans, right? They're bringing dead things back to life, not coming, already being done. Now, you can't say that because that sounds really creepy. I'm going to bring dead things back to life. So they use it, they relabel it. This is what they always do, relabel it, and it's called what? De-extinction. Doesn't that sound better? Right? But see, all of this is going on. Why? We saw, what's the goal? The goal is these sicko people like Klaus Schwab, the global elites, they don't need God. They think they are God, and they think they could achieve their own immortality without Jesus Christ. And the goal was to harvest people like a crop, to harvest their organs, so that when these elites are dying, then they could harvest a heart or an organ or other things to keep them going. They don't need God. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's on tape. It's sick. And you wonder why God's coming back to shut these guys down? But the point for you and I is it has everything to do with Bible prophecy. Why? Because this is the days of Noah stuff, right? And Jesus said this, Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Earl? No. The days of who? Noah. So it will be, not maybe not my, it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You're going to see a repeat of the days of Noah before Jesus Christ comes back. And this is what's going on. This is what Klaus and the gang are doing across the planet while we're all distracted on a myriad of other things. The hybridization of not just mankind, but even of all of God's creation. They're messing with God's design. And again, he's going to come back and judge it like he did the last time. Okay? But that's not all. I got a new jacket and I'm back in action. So guess what? There is got to be more. Clean me, co-op. But that's right. The 11th one is Klaus Schwab and the what? Cyborg plan for humans. Come on. It just gets worse as you go. You guys can't leave well enough alone. What do you mean, what? I mean, it's bad enough you want to take over the world. It's bad enough you're murdering a massive amount of people. But and you're genetically modifying people. You're mixing and matching us with animals and copying us and cloning and all this weird stuff going on. You're gonna merge man with machine and what? Absolutely. And again, we're going to see this today, and they're going to do it for some freaky, nefarious reasons, and I'll just be blunt, because Lord willing, for so long, still here, we're going to deal with it this week and next week. All this whole cyborg humanity that Klaus and the gang want to create, on top of everything else we just saw. And I'll just tell the whole thing in a nutshell, then we'll begin to look at the evidence for that. They're going to create basically a Borg-like hive mind for absolute total control, even down to your thought life. And they will dictate everything, not just buying and selling, but everything for those that get chipped, okay, including they will control your body and they can shut you off as a human. It sounds crazy, but you're going to see that this is all on tape. Okay, now the point for you and I, why do we need to talk about this? And first of all, how many guys are saying, Pastor Billy, could you go back to Jerusalem? I was having a great time, and now you're back, and I'm already starting to freak out again. Go back to Petra. Go back. You got to deal with it, man. But anyway, here's the whole point. To create this cyborg humanity, this is why we're dealing with it, because it has everything to do with the Bible. To create this cyborg humanity, it just so happens, the way they're going to connect these people that they're going to turn into cyborgs, it just happens to be one of the two places that God specifically says people are going to take the mark. It rhymes with the head, okay? But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's see where the mark is implemented in the seven-year tribulation. Revelation 13 is the classic text again. Let's take a look at that. Revelation 13, we're going to read verses 11 through 18. The context, of course, the false prophet working with the Antichrist, the beast. They're clearly satanically inspired because it says that they're inspired by the dragon, defined Revelation 12 as Satan. But let's read this, Revelation 13, 11 through 18. What is this mark of the thing? And just exactly where is God going to tie these people into this Antichrist system? What parts of the body? But let's take a look. Verse 11 says this. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, the false prophet, but he spoke like what? Dragon. He's satanically inspired as well. And he exercised all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf. And he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And he ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. And he what? He also, key word here, forced. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his what? Forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. You may be seated if you can. But again, we've been here many times before. But again, the context here is there really is coming a day in the seven-year tribulation, right? Not now. We're seeing the infrastructure being laid. But in the seven-year tribulation, the inhabitants of the earth, which is the code word for those left behind who have not received Christ as Savior, but they're going to be under the authority of the Antichrist in this context, Revelation 13. They're going to be under the economy of the Antichrist, but they're going to be tied in individually to that system with two body parts. God calls them out, very specific, every jot, every tittle, everything is there on purpose for a reason. But what are the two body parts that people are going to be connected to the Antichrist system that's going to control buying and selling? Yes, but dare I say, it could be a whole lot more. But what are those two body parts? Right hand or what? Forehead. Many people and a lot of prophecy teachers, and rightly so, a lot of people have been focusing for years on the hand. And that is a whole other topic. We've talked about that many times, right? You know, it's all going into the hand chips, the hand implants, right? And even the phone was a precursor to that because you hold the phone in the hand. You can make payments with your phone. Well, skip the phone. Just use your hand, the hand, the hand, hand. Listen, Klaus and the gang, in order to create their cyborg humanity, they're doing the other option that God mentions here. And hardly anybody's talking about this. It's called the brain chip. Remember, the right hand and the what? Forehead. One of the two places for the mark of the beast. And you're thinking, no, they're not doing that, are they? Yeah, they are. And the Bible's very clear, folks. First of all, don't make the biggest mistake of your life and reject Jesus Christ now, because you're going to be left behind. And then if you find yourself left behind in the seven-year tribulation, God's very blunt. Don't you dare. Don't you dare take that mark of the beast. Or basically, it's a one-way ticket straight to the lake of fire. I didn't say he did. Revelation 14, 9 through 10. If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. Don't you dare do that. First of all, get saved now. Avoid the whole thing, right? That's the common sense, right? But for those people left behind, I'm telling you, don't take the mark, right? And I think maybe, Lord willing, next week, you're going to start to see why. Why is it are these people doomed? They're not going to get redeemed. There is no second chance. You take that mark, you're going straight to the lake of fire. Why? Well, I think we're going to see, Lord willing, next week why. But again, Klaus and the gang, to create their cyborg humanity, they're focusing on the second option, the head. And I'm telling you, I think a lot of people, unfortunately, in that time frame are going to take that option. Okay, but you're thinking, no, there's no way. They're not promoting this. Everything, they're taking over the world. They're doing all this genetic modification. They're sick. The economies, they got their SS agents and, that rhyme with Biden and the whole, everybody else and working for them. All they're not. No, really? Yeah. In fact, here's the classic clip from 2016. This is Klaus Schwab admitting in a Swiss interview. Okay, it's translated for you. In a Swiss interview that guess what? Just like we got used to our clothes being chipped, we're going to be chipped. And he mentions the head. Watch this.
Aujourd'hui, au bout de ça, on parle de puces qu'on pourra s'implanter. Ce sera quand ça?
Certainement dans les 10 années à venir. Et d'abord, on va les implanter dans nos vêtements, c'est-à-dire wearables, comme on le dit. Et après, on pourrait s'imaginer qu'on les implante dans nos cerveaux ou dans nos topos. Et à la fin, peut-être il y a une communication directe entre notre cerveau et le monde digital.
Okay, that's kind of creepy. 2016, within 10 years, 2026. Just like we got used to microchipping our clothes, we're going to be microchipped as people as well. Under our skin, or what's the other option he mentioned? The brain. Why do you want a chip in the brain? In the forehead? Well, the next year, 2017, at the World Economic Forum, he's interviewing a gentleman named Sergey Brin. Sergey Brin, if you don't know, he's the co-founder of Google, the other guy, Larry Page. Those two guys founded Google, okay, who's developing AI to control a lot of these systems. But he's having an interview with him, and he admits on tape that, again, not only is everybody going to have a brain chip, but he admits what they will be able to do with these brain chips. It isn't just buying and selling. It's not just tracking. Watch what he now adds to that scenario. This is wild.
But can you imagine that in 10 years when we are sitting here, we have an implant in our brains, and I can immediately feel, because you all will have implants, I can, and we measure your brain waves, and I can immediately tell you how the people react, or I can feel how the people react to your answers. Is it imaginable?
I think that is imaginable. I think...
And he literally goes on and just stumbles. And to me, you know how I translate that? Dude, you let the cat out of the bag. You're telling people that we're going to put brain chips in everybody that, listen, won't just be a part of connecting to a system to buy and sell, to track them like a product. But we're going to be able to read your thoughts. And when we give an order, we will know, whew, did you comply or not? On tape. It's not a conspiracy theory. Oh, it gets worse as you go. You go back to Yuval Noah Harari, the science advisor. He adds another layer of this cyborg humanity that they want to create specifically with the brain chip. Watch what he says they will be able to do to our bodies, not just our thoughts. Watch this. This is crazy.
With especially the rise of brain-computer interfaces and biometric sensors and so forth, it is very likely people will literally be part of a network. All the bodies, all the brains would be connected together to a network, and you won't be able to survive if you're disconnected from the net, because your own body parts, your own immune system perhaps depends on being constantly connected to the colony, to the network.
Wait a second. So now it's not just a tracking thing. It's not just connect me to a matrix that enables me to buy and sell. It's not even just reading my thoughts. But it will also, at the same time, be able to control my body, whether or not I stay alive, whether or not I get my medicine, whether or not, oh, come on. He said it on tape. So put it in a nutshell. I'm going to just give you vernacular. What is this? How do you encapsulate this vision? I call it cyborg humanity. And they use that term a lot. We'll see that in a little bit. But really, for those of you hooked on Star Trek, this is what they're creating. The Borg. a hive mind. With these brain chips, we'll give them the ability to create basically a group of mindless slaves who, against their will do whatever their will wants us to do. This is it in a nutshell. And you go, that's sick. That's dystopian. I mean, where are these sickos getting this idea from? Well, I'm going to give you a hint. It rhymes with Hitler. You know why? Because it was Hitler. For those of you wondering. Hitler, some of the medical experiments they did on people, a lot of them were, guess what? Brain experiments. And we brought them over to America. And it's still going on today. Let's take a look at that proof. Watch this.
Before he began his genocide against Jewish people, Adolf Hitler went after the disabled. At first, children born with disabilities or mental illness. In 1939, the Nazis built six centralized killing centers. One of them was Hadamar, near the city of Wiesbaden, where more than 10,000 people were killed. First, patients were brought in from nearby clinics and so-called mental asylums and gathered in a bus shelter.
These are the original windows, and you can see no one passing by would have been able to see inside.
Then, through a windowless hallway, down narrow stairs, into a basement, stripped naked, told it was time to take a shower. We all know this story. The patients were gassed to death, their bodies burned in an oven down the hallway. But some bodies took an alternative route. They were autopsied. Gold teeth were ripped from their mouths, and in a small number of cases, their brains were removed, then examined. Many brains ended up at the Kaiser Wilhelm Society, which, after the war, became the Max Planck Society.
There was a massive appetite for the brains of the persons who were being killed. In Nazi Germany, you had great opportunities for research. You had partly research being carried out in concentration camps.
The doctors and scientists who'd been involved in the murders, they kept their heads down.
A lot of perpetrators just got away with very low sentences or no sentences at all.
When new scientists joined Max Planck, as late as the 70s and 80s, they were not encouraged to ask questions.
So even up until recent times, they were still utilizing the brain research that Hitler and the Nazis did. Why? Because as you saw, they either weren't charged or got minimal sentences, or, as we saw last time, we brought these guys back to the United States to the tune of 1,600 plus with what was called Operation Paperclip. And then if you do the research, right after Operation Paperclip that brought these guys over to the U.S., another program was launched called Project Bluebird. Watch what that project was. After the end of World War II, 1945, President Truman authorized Project Paperclip to exploit German scientists for American research, even though reports pointed out that they were ardent Nazis who participated in murderous medical experiments on human subjects. Then, over the next 2 years, the CIA was formed. Why? With the help of new psychological warfare operations, or PSYOPs, that was what they were started for, and they were not opposed to working with these Nazi doctors who had been proficient in breaking the mind and rebuilding it. The CIA's mind control, or human behavior control programs, as it was called, was under the protection of national security, and many other branches of governments also took part in the study of the area. The CIA originated its first program, a mind control program, in 1950. It was called Project Bluebird, and in a 1951 memo, they said, here's what we're going to do, and I quote, "Can we create, by post-hypnotic control, an action contrary to an individual's basic moral principle? Can we, in a matter of an hour, 2 hours, 1 day, induce a post-hypnotic condition in an unwilling subject to such an extent that he will perform an act for our benefit? Could we seize a subject and, in the space of an hour or two, by post-hypnotic control, have him crash an airplane or wreck a train?" That was 1951. Good thing it stopped. "Can we, by post-hypnotic control, force a subject to travel long distances, commit specified acts, and return to us and bring documents or materials?" What is this, Jason Bourne or something? "Can we guarantee total amnesia under any and all conditions? Can we alter a person's personality? Can we devise a system for making unwilling subjects into willing agents and then transfer that control to untrained agency agents in the field by, listen, use of codes or identifying signs? So basically, they do all the dirty work. They create this Manchurian candidate. And then you could pass it off to Joe Schmo, who works for the CIA. And all they got to do is use a signal, a code, a phrase, a certain word, and you instantly, that person is transformed into a mindless zombie who will do your will. What's the point? This is out in print. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's all coming out now. But I don't think it's by chance that Hitler had brain experiments for the purposes of mind control. We bring a big wad of these guys back to the United States, Operation Paperclip. Right after that, the CIA, for the purposes of PSYOPs, was launched working with these Nazi guys who were experts at mind manipulation. And then they launch Project Bluebird, as you just saw, to create mindless slaves. And in a nutshell, what you're going to see is that was all the experimentation. Now it's culminating up to modern day where Klaus and the gang are bringing this to the planet. And all they got to do is get people to do one thing, get a brain chip. One of the two places on the human body that the Bible says the mark of the beast. It's not by chance, folks. And let me demonstrate that to you. That was just a creepy intro. I'm back. In the first way that we're seeing Klaus and the gang, man, as crazy as this is, Borg, here comes the Borg, is right. They're creating a cyborg humanity. Is the plans are already here. And as we just saw, I did a little quick history test. The plans have been in play for a long time. But this is part of what they're doing behind the scenes is we're all distracted. Okay, you just got to get a brain chip. And these guys aren't hiding it, folks. And let me share this with you. This is from the World Economic Forum's website. This article reports it. Quote, World Economic Forum recommends humans become what? Cyborgs. By how? Implanting brain chips. Quote, there are solid rational reasons for children to be microchipped. This is from the World Economic Forum. Everybody's distracted. Oh, about this. Oh, look at that. And they're doing this in the background. Though, quote, from that article, the World Economic Forum is promoting augmentation technology. Now, if you recall, we saw that's the new phrase for what? Post-human species, human 2.0, a new upgrade, augmentation, right? Augmentation technology to morph humans into cyborgs, and they recommend children be implanted with brain chips. And I quote, the brain chips will not only improve health by eradicating impairments like learning disabilities and depression, but pave the way for humans to obtain, listen, superhuman capacity, contends the World Economic Forum. Why? Because, quote, superheroes have been dominating big and small screens for a while, but there's a subtle change happening, quote, many children now expect to develop superpowers themselves. See, we just thought Hollywood's just our entertainment. Wow, look at this new Marvel movie. Wow, look at the X-Men. It was what? It's getting the next generation to go like, I want that superpower. I want to be superhuman. Won't you upgrade me? And if you get the brain chip, ooh-wee. It's all planned, folks. We've been duped. And it ends with this. Should you implant a chip in your child? There are solid, rational reasons for it, like safety. No, it's called slavery. It's going to create cyborg, Borg hive mind. Okay, and this is, again, they're not hiding. Now, okay, so do you think they're going to come out, hey, it's already creepy enough what we've done. We're murdering massive amounts of people on the planet, creating a whole new Holocaust. Hey, we're going to genetically modify everything, insects, plants, animals, all of humanity. We're going to mix and match you with humans and even clone you like a crop so we can live forever. Hey, we're going to turn you into Star Trek Borg. People would kind of freak, right? So they do what they always do. They're not going to come out and say, hey, guess what? This is what we're doing. Yeah, get the chip. Yeah. They relabel. This is what they do every single time. They relabel. Now, let me give you some of the terms that basically that needs to be translated. Borg, cyborg, humanity. Here's what they call it in print. So when you see this in print, this is really what you're dealing with. And I quote, here's the terms, the new terms, the redefined terms. It's not the Star Trek freaky Borg. No. It's called collective consciousness. It's called groupthink. It's called swarm intelligence. No, it's the universal mind. That's all they're doing. Or, that's right, the quantified self-revolution to create the new and improved human 2.0. In fact, here's one of their sicko commercials promoting that. Watch this. This is gross.
So you hear a lot of talk these days about the quantified self-revolution. Everything's being tracked. We have metrics for everything. We're extending sensors into everything and all of a sudden creating an influx of data. So everything is tracked online. Now everything is tracked in our body. We live in a world in which human beings have been reduced, have been turned into algorithmic cascades of data. And most people are terrified of this notion of infinite tracking, but I think the quantified self-revolution potentially can reveal us to ourselves. It can become the ultimate mirror. Because you know what happens with those algorithmic cascades? These observers, human beings, will now be able to see themselves as structures, as patterns amidst the data. We'll be able to take data set of millions of people measuring millions of metrics of data and find patterns and find spaces of interconnection and find emergent self-organization that is occurring on these meta patterns and then these different scales. We'll get what Stephen Johnson calls the long view. We'll get the equivalent of the microscope or the telescope for units of information, for data sets. Who knows what we might learn about ourselves? How might we be able to take that data and use those insights to feed them back into us, right? Creating that effective moment of ontological design where that information acts as feedback that further changes how we act and changes how we optimize the world and society. The quantified self-revolution is an upgrade for this operating system, this man-machine operating system. It's humans versions 2.0.
But that guy was cool, man. He even had the hat on. He was like shaving. He was kind of hip. And he was excited about it. And if you just get the brain chip, it's going to be, we can learn with humanity. We can all be tied together. People, the things that we can learn, not only about everybody, monitored every 24/7. And then we can feed it back into us like a Borg. Like, it's going to save humanity, improve. If just get the brain chip. Upgrade. Human 2.0. It's not a conspiracy, folks. This is what they're building. It's called the Borg. But you can't call it that. Collective consciousness, universal mind, quantified self-revolution, yeah, whatever. Now, what's sick, that's bad enough that they come out with those kind of commercials to make it sound like this is a great thing, creating more. But the same generation that would fall for that guy and his cool look, the same generation is also specifically, not just with the Marvel movies, X-Men, say, I wish I could have superpowers. They're producing people, hey, if you just get a brain chip, you could have those superpowers. And Hollywood's out there producing shows, movies, specifically about this brain chip. Let me give you just one example. This is from the BBC. Watch how they're promoting this as the greatest thing. It will give you so much joy. Watch this. Propaganda at its best.
Sweetheart. You're okay. Are you okay?
I am. I really am. I'm fine. Honestly, I swear I'm fine.
There. We can let that breathe for 10 minutes. All looking good. I'll come back and I'll dress them.
Do you see? These are interaction nodes. If I use this finger, I can open all the doors at work, no ID. And if I just scan this in a shop, I can pay for anything up to £1,000. And look, Dad, Mom, I've just taken your photo. Send and send. It doesn't need the sound effect. I just added that because it makes me laugh.
You promised me they wouldn't touch your eyes. Not after last time.
That was years ago. Gran's had stem cells in her eyes since then.
I can't help thinking... Don't laugh. All these power cuts. Well, what would happen to you?
Nothing. What happens to you in a power cut? Nothing.
So, what about your head?
Can't feel a thing. They inserted the tiniest wafer into my brain. Look at the result. Synced us up. No keyboard. I don't need a keyboard ever again.
You did that by thinking?
It can't read my mind. Not yet, but the wafer tracks activity in the neural pathway and micro-movements in the retina to predict what I'm thinking.
But that is reading your mind. But I still don't understand. You can run software like this on a keyboard. So why do you need the operation?
I'm trying to explain it in ways you can understand, but the connection is so much more. While we were talking, at exactly the same time, I wondered about the 80 days of rain, where it came from, why it was, what comes next. And I keyed into satellites just 30 seconds ago, so I can see the course of El Niño, and I can tap into pressure sensors along the Atlantic coast and barometric readings from the ships at sea. If I put all of that together, I'm there. I'm inside it, the tide, the depth of the sea, and the curl of the waves within me. And right now in Charles Street, Pasadena, 15-year-old girl called Effany Cross has written her first song and put it online, and she's got the sweetest voice. So when I combine all of that, it's joy. In my head, it is absolute joy.
Wow. So the same generation who has already been obsessed with not just technology, but with phones and upgrades and always got to have the latest upgrade and the superhero movies, and wouldn't it be cool if I could have superpowers, at the same time we're being encouraged, you can get an upgrade. You can have superpowers like that girl. And by the way, everything that was mentioned there is available, which we'll get into that, Lord willing, more next week. It's not coming. It's already here. But do you see how they're being targeted? But what is it? What will give you those so-called superpowers? What will connect you to this network? What will give you the ability to... Because we all know how hard it is to push a button on the phone. Oh, the agony of it all. They're going to go along with it. And they're going to look at the two fuddy-duddies on the other side, you and I going, what are you doing? You're nuts. And they're saying, you just don't understand because you're not plugged in to the matrix. Crazy. This is what Klaus is doing. Now, with all that said, you might be thinking, okay, I get it. Pastor Billy's all on tape. They're promoting it. Klaus and the gang is bad enough. They're taking over the world, murdering mass amounts of people. They're genetic modifying everything, repeating the days of Noah, including humans and mixing humans and cloning humans and all kinds of crazy. That's bad enough. But I get it. They literally want to create a Borg. They want to create a cyborg humanity. They're going to control everything, even your thoughts and your bodies. And I get it. But surely we got enough time. Because think about the feasibility of this. How are you going to put a brain chip in everybody on the planet? I mean, the logistics of that, plus the time, it would take forever. Not anymore. Because we got somebody that's working for these guys, and his name is Elon Musk. Elon Musk, we've been touted, he's a guy, he's here for freedom. He's one of us. No, you better wake up. I think we should have paid attention to his outfits that he wore earlier. Kind of tells you a little bit about the guy. Satanic upside down cross. People said, oh, it's just a samurai outfit. Yeah, okay. And Pastor Billy eats chicken. Yeah, that ain't true. Okay. Because he is working specifically on the logistics. See, we think, oh, he's doing all this SpaceX stuff and electric cars, right? Folks, he is building the ability to mass produce brain chips, pop them in people, get them right back out. The ability to mass produce and mass brain chip specifically people is what he's working on. It's a company called Neuralink. Let's take a look at that.
Well, Elon Musk's next project isn't a car or a spaceship or a solar panel. The executive's latest startup is called Neuralink, which focuses on the goal of implanting chips into human brains and also connecting brains to computers. Here's what Elon Musk said at a conference in California about the technology last night.
This, I think, has a very good purpose, which is to cure important diseases and ultimately to help secure humanity's future as a civilization relative to AI. This, I think, has tremendous potential, and we hope to have this aspirationally in a human patient before the end of next year. So this is not far.
Not far, he says. The implantation of the neuron, the implantation of the neuron-sized threads requires the use of a special robot, but Musk said it's a minimally invasive surgery.
They likened it to LASIK. No big scars, no hospital stays. It would be a short procedure, and you get to keep all your hair.
Well, that's a Benny, right? At least you get to keep your hair. If I get a brain trip. Did you see the news? 2 weeks ago, his company got approved by the FDA for human trials, brain chips. That is designed to what? Just like a LASIK eye procedures. You don't even have to do what that girl did, had the operation and be in the hospital for a couple days. You can just go in, bang, get your chip, walk right back out, and you're connected. This is what he's working on. Been working on it for a long time. And then the crazy thing is, you think about logistics, well, that's just one company. That's still going to take a while. No, there's a lot of companies doing the brain chip thing. Brain interface, brain-machine interface, there's a lot of them. Okay. Neuralink is just one of them. Okay. There's others, and it could be here all day. I'm just going to give you a couple of them just so you know. There's massive amounts of them. This one's called Neurable. Made news in 2017 for inventing the world's first brain-controlled virtual reality game. It's also in conversation with the military to use the devices to increase performance in the military with the goal of reducing training time. So they could use the devices to instantly give instructions to people. To give you a vernacular, we'll get into this, Lord willing, more next week. Remember the scene in the Matrix movie where the guy got jacked in the back of the head? Next thing you know, he woke up, I know Kung Fu, right? Instant learning, that's what they're talking about. It's not science fiction. There's companies that are doing that, working with the military. This one's called Emotive. They got a wide range of applications using the brain-machine interface for interactive television, computer interaction, hands-free control system, just like that girl. I can send pictures. I don't need a keyboard. I could just do it all with my thoughts. This is the company. They use it for also psychology, learning, medicine, robotics, automated transport, defense, and security. Another one's called NextMind. Allows you to control digital interfaces directly with your mind in real time for anyone wanting to, quote, create mind-controlled applications. Because, again, if it ain't that phone, having to push that button, oh, pushing that button on the Keurig, man. Oh, now I got a callus on both fingers. But no, you can control it now with your mind, appliances, all that kind of stuff. It says, quote, for mind-controlled applications. It wouldn't work the other way, would it? Lord willing, next week. And then let me give you one more. There's tons of these companies out there, folks. It's not just Neuralink. Kernel, building the next generation of brain systems with the goal of developing, listen, a way to store memories outside the brain. So it'll scan your brain, store them outside, and this is part of the transhumanist Klaus dream. If they can't harvest your body parts and have this false immortality, they want to download the contents of the brain, re-upload them maybe into somebody else's body, or a cyborg, or an avatar experience. So that's what. So this company's actually doing that. Okay. Or, listen to what that. Or upload new memories into the brain's memory center. New memories. So you could put thoughts in there that weren't there before. Oh, yeah. Again, Lord willing, next week. And in 2017, their founder, a guy named Brian Johnson, talked about boosting human intelligence with neural chip implants. Because you're connected to the network like that girl, and I could just learn and know all things. Not coming, already done. There's a ton of companies out there. So we're not waiting for the ability to mass brain chip people. There's a lot of options nowadays. We're just all distracted on other things. Which may think, well, okay, wait a second. If you're going to create this cyborg, hive mind, Star Trek freaky reality with these brain chips, you not only got to be able to mass produce them and get them into people very quickly. Okay, that's already here. I get that. But wait a second. You're going to have some sort of global connection around the whole planet that's tying all these brain chips together to create that hive mind, right? Yes. Well, guess what Elon Musk is also working on? He's got his company Neuralink that links the brain to computers. He's also got another one called Starlink. That's creating a global matrix to link, I wonder what. Watch this. This is crazy.
You're looking at 60 satellites hurtling into the sky. And over the next few decades, Elon Musk is hoping to send 42,000 of these satellites to space, 15 times the number of operational satellites in orbit today. It's part of Starlink, the expansive constellation from Musk and SpaceX that hopes to bring the world low-latency, high-speed internet. promising no more buffering and nearly instantaneous internet in every corner of the world. Nearly half of the world's population does not have access to the internet, because most internet options require an extensive track of costly underground cables, leaving many rural locations offline. And while satellite internet can reach those areas,
traditional satellite internet is provided by a bus-sized spacecraft that has launched 22,236 miles into space in orbit around Earth.
That distance means the satellite can reach places that cables can't. But since that one satellite is meant to service a lot of people, its data capability is limited, which then limits connection speeds. And that signal has to travel a long way, creating a lot of lag. This is where Elon Musk and SpaceX come in.
Starlink is a globe-encircling network of internet beaming satellites that is trying to get you online no matter where you are in the world.
So the same guy, let me get this straight, you got a brain chip company called Neuralink that links the brain with computers. At the same time, you got another one called Starlink that links the whole planet in a global matrix system that is going to link what? My theory? It's going to, for the first time in man's history, you're going to be able to link anybody on the planet anywhere that gets one of these chips. Well, wait a second. Okay, so you got that ability to mass produce them, and you're building the global matrix to create this global hive mind. I get that, but wait a second. How are you going to monitor this? I mean, you're talking about billions of people being microchipped, and then you're not just tracking them and controlling your financial transactions, but you're accessing their very thoughts. I mean, that's a lot of information, and that's a lot of people. You can't hire enough people for that. You need something superhuman to run this system. AI. Have you noticed for years, Elon Musk was out there saying, he's a good guy because he's warning about AI, the dangers of AI. Yeah. You know what he's doing? He's creating his own AI. Where? In our state. Elon Musk forms new AI company in Nevada called xAI. Quote, he's made big hires from the world of artificial intelligence lately, including he hired away from Google one of their main AI developers. And you go, well, wait a second. Okay, so now he's got this mass brain production company, and then he's got the global matrix to connect them all. Now he's got something superhuman to control it all and monitor it all and process the information of it all, but you still need some sort of a platform that'll tie it all together. Well, what do you think was going on with his purchase of Twitter? Twitter, and I quote, with Musk purchasing Twitter along with AI development, the move is seen as an attempt to build a platform that turns into a, quote, everything app like WeChat in China. And you go, well, what's WeChat? Well, this is what China uses, basically a one-stop shop app. You don't need 100 different apps. You just need one app, and you could do all kinds of things with just that one app. And I quote from this article, it does everything. Payments to the ability to book flights, hotels, from major supermarkets to the small street vendors to taxis. You can pay for things with WeChat almost anywhere in China. Instead of having one app for banking, another app for ride hailing, another one for this, another one for that, all these can be built directly into WeChat so that app becomes, quote, a one-stop shop for its users. And now people are saying that's the real reason for buying Twitter. It ain't about freedom of information. By the way, they're still blocking stuff on there, you know. But they're saying this is now going to be the platform. This is Elon Musk's version of a one-stop shop platform like WeChat. But he's taking it a step further. Because you got the brain implant ability. You got the global matrix that you're building. You got the AI to run it all. And you got a universal app platform. But see, what's different than WeChat? WeChat, you still have to download it on your what? Your phone. But if you get the brain implant, just part of the package. Do you see what he's doing? It's crazy. And you go, oh, come on, Elon Musk, he's not working to create a human cyborg and for Klaus and the gang and his own evil purposes and all that. Yes, he is. In fact, if you pay attention to Klaus, what's he say all the time? You don't know German, okay? Okay, you get that. No. He talks about the Great Reset, the Great Reset, the fourth industrial revolution. He always says it all the time. When you listen to Elon Musk, one of the things he talks about all the times is he uses this word cyborg, right? And he admits we're already cyborgs. He says it all the time. And I think it's part of the basically shot across the bow. That's what we're going to create with these brain chips. We're going to create human cyborgs. But watch this, just a couple of interviews.
We're already a cyborg. It's just that, I mean, you have a digital version of yourself or partial version of yourself online in the form of your emails and your social media and all the things that you do. And you have basically superpowers in that with your computer and your phone and the applications that are there. You have more power than the President of the United States had 20 years ago. That you can answer any question. You can video conference with anyone anywhere. You can send a message to millions of people instantly. You know, you just do incredible things.
We are all already cyborgs in a way, in that your phone, computer are extensions of yourself.
Right now, we are already a cyborg. People don't realize we are already a cyborg because we are so well integrated with our phones and our computers. The phone is almost like an extension of yourself. If you forget your phone, it's like a missing limb. To some degree, we are already a cyborg. You think of like the digital tools that you have, your phone, your computer, the applications that you have, like the fact that, as I was mentioning earlier, you can ask a question and instantly get an answer.
Look at where from Google, world government,
you know, from other things. So over time, I think we'll probably see a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence between your brain and your digital, the digital extension of yourself. So some high bandwidth interface to the brain, I think, will be something that helps achieve a symbiosis and between human and machine intelligence and maybe solves the control problem.
Control problem? What are you trying to control there, pal? I almost hesitated to even share that last video because it's kind of like old hat, because every year you and I always get invited to the World Government Summit, and we've already seen this. And you know what? He told us who he was working for, and people just downplayed it. This, I believe, is the infrastructure that will be implemented in the seven-year tribulation. We leave prior. That's how close we're getting, folks. But let me give you one real quick one as we close. The second way we know Klaus and the gang are preparing us for a cyborg humanity is the mandates are already here. The mandate mentality. The Antichrist, the false prophet, they're going to give an order. You got to take this mark. Okay? And everybody just rolls over and plays dead. No. The Bible says what they're going to do is they're going to force. Now think about that word force. What does it mean to force somebody? To use the modern vernacular, it will be a global mandate, right? And that's what we see here when it gets implemented, the mindset, right? Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He also, what? Forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or where? Forehead, think of the brain chip, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had that mark. And I don't know about you, but the Bible is very clear that obviously not everybody's going to go along with that. Otherwise, why would you have to use force? So he's going to force people in the seven-year tribulation to do this. Again, it's a global enforcement. It's a global mandate. You have to take the mark in order to connect to the system in order to buy and sell. And it's a good thing that we have seen no signs of global mandates of people being forced to do something like this in recent times. Yeah, we just saw, in my opinion, the biggest dry run ever for the Mark of the Beast system. It wasn't the Mark of the Beast system, but it was the biggest dry run ever. What did we just see? The mentality for what we just read in the seven-year tribulation is already here. We were what? Forced, mandated, globally, you have to wear a mask on your head in order to buy and sell. Forced, mandated, you better get a shot in your arm. Not too far from the hand, if you're going to buy and sell. And I don't know about you, but I was absolutely shocked at how many people just rolled over and did it. If I was these guys, I'd be going, whoo-hoo, now's the time to strike because they don't care about freedom. The mindset's already here. How many people you know just lined up professing Christians? Whoa. I'll tell you what. It's a good thing that Biden's here to put a stop to all of it. I almost want to brush my teeth after saying that. Are you kidding me? If you don't think the current administration would move to the next step, they already mandated the mask on your head, mandated the shots arm hand. You don't think they're going to mandate getting the microchip in people? You're fooling yourself, man. I'll give you two examples and we'll close. I've been sitting on this baby since 2005 when I was pastoring in Northern California. And it's the Senate hearing of all people. Fast forward to today. This is crazy. It's Joe Biden grilling John Roberts for the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. I get choked up thinking about it all the time, too. Think about that. And, of course, now he is the Supreme Court Justice. But listen to what in 2005, it's almost like this has been planned for a long time. 2005, Biden is saying that Roberts will rule on before his tenure is over. Watch this.
And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that.
So the exact same two guys who mandated, violated our constitutional rights and freedom, let alone our biblical autonomy that comes from God. Our rights come from the Creator, not the government. The same two guys who mandated masks on your head, vaccinations in your arm, you really think that one day they won't, quote, mandate microscopic tags be implanted in a person's body to track their every move and the ability to do a brain scan to determine whether or not you're a violent person? You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure's up. Can you see how it's all coming together? And the reason why is because Biden is one of Klaus Schwab's favorite disciples. Even before he's vice president. He's been going to the World Economic Forum for a long time. And can I tell you something? That's why they cheated. That's why they got him in office. Because he's the man for the hour to implement Schwab's plan. You don't believe me? 2016, the same year that Schwab said at that Swiss interview that just like we got used to microchipping our clothes, we're going to get them in our head and under our skin. The same year at the World Economic Forum, he gleefully almost salivates over Joe Biden as his best disciple. Wow. On tape, watch this.
I'm very honored and pleased to introduce the Honorable Joe Biden, the Vice President of the United States. I'm so pleased to see you back here in Davos because I remember before you assumed your position as Vice President of the United States, you came here as a senator, you came here as the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate. And I have to say, in my memory, you were one of the most engaged and hardest working participants here at the annual meeting.
You've written extensively on the topic that you've asked me to speak to, mastering the fourth industrial revolution. This fora defines that as a change fueled by a digital revolution.
I wonder what digital revolution that will be. Joe Biden, Klaus Schwab's longtime favorite disciple, on tape. Why did they put him in place in America for such a time as this? I got a theory and it goes like this. Probably because at some point we're going to see microscopic tags being implanted into a person's body to track their every move that will give them the ability to do a brain scan to determine whether or not you're a violent person. All coming together. Turn to somebody and say, tell Pastor Billy to go back to Jerusalem. By the way, give it up for AJ and Chris for filling in while I was gone. Did a fantastic job. So obviously the conclusion is freak out and run to the hills. Are you kidding me? Read your Bible, man. What's the whole point? When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your hands, your redemption draws near. All it is this what? We're seeing the infrastructure of the actual Antichrist system, the mark of the beast system, not just the hand, but even the forehead being put into place. We leave prior. So start looking up, get excited about the return of Christ, because we aren't a part of that. Christian, we're not looking for the Antichrist, we're looking for Jesus Christ. And so therefore, finish strong. It's not a time to be fearful, it's time to be faithful. Get busy telling people about Jesus so they can escape this global cyborg tyranny that these guys really are creating. There's a way out. We need to be living for that. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're here and you're not saved, what more proof do you need, man? What more does God got to do to get your attention to go, you know what? I better take the way out. Amen. I don't want to be a part of that. That's a complete slave plan. I don't want to be a part of that. You know what? You don't have to. If you would just ask Jesus to forgive you and to save you. Amen. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. Do it today before it's too late. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks. Let's be honest, if you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step.
to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior, if we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.